This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Kai Ohata is the director and co-writer of the new film Picture Bride, which won the Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival. This Wednesday, it opens the Philadelphia Festival of World Cinema. Picture Bride is based on a little-known chapter of Japanese-American history. The film is set in Hawaii in 1918, where Japanese immigrants worked the plantations for low wages. Hata is Japanese-American and lived in Hawaii until the age of 6. Both of her grandfathers were Buddhist ministers. Her father was a minister turned entrepreneur. He sold souvenirs to tourists in Hawaii. When the family moved to New York, he opened one of the first sushi restaurants there. I asked Kai Ohata to explain what a picture bride was.
Picture bride is actually an extension of the arranged marriage. As you know, or you may not know, in Asia, the arranged marriages are very common. Marriage is very much a matter of the family. But during the early 1900s, primarily between 1907 and 1924, a lot of immigrant men were overseas and they couldn't afford to go back for a wife, and thank God for photography, they were able to send pictures of themselves, and the women were able to send pictures of themselves, and they were able to make matches that way. And so they became known as picture brides in America.
I guess one of the things I really want to know is, why would a young Japanese woman want to come over to Hawaii to marry a man that she'd never met?
Mm-hmm. Most of them came from very poor farming backgrounds, and this was part of it was economic necessity. And their families couldn't afford to support them anymore, and this represented a really great opportunity to earn money for their family and to come back wealthy. And I mean, this was of course part of the dream that was promoted by, you know, immigration recruiters. Also, I think a lot of these women, I like to think of them as being really on the cutting edge of women of that time. They were the real adventurers. And aside from economic necessity, I think a lot of these women just wanted to have an adventure. I mean, during this period, how many women were able to really travel across the ocean and see the world? And the other thing is that, you know, as in Japanese families, once you marry a man, you have to live with their go to his household. And one of the most dreaded aspects of marriage was of living with your mother-in-law. And so a lot of these women often cited, you know, not having to live with their mother-in-law as another compelling reason.
The picture bride in your movie wants to go back to Japan after she gets to Hawaii because she doesn't like mm-hmm. life on the plantation. Her husband is older than she thought he would be. Was this common? Did a lot of the picture brides who you interviewed really want to go back to Japan, or at least for a long time do they want to go back?
Oh, yeah. For a long time, many of them really regretted having made the decision. They came over with paradise in mind, and instead they got, you know, a husband who's much older. And instead of this very romantic image that their husbands had pictured for them, they got the cane fields, and they just felt incredible homesickness. And many of them talked about wanting to go back for many years, and I think it was only until their children came and they started putting down roots in Hawaii and they really saw the other side of life. But initially, that was the dream. They just wanted to go back.
For the women whose marriages worked out, what did they think of marriage as being? I would guess that their idea of a happy marriage would be a little bit different than, say, the typical American's idea of a happy marriage in 1995.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things is just that the husband was very honest and hardworking. He didn't drink or gamble, because it was so common for these plantation laborers to drink and gamble, because they had led such a wild bachelor life before these women came over. So that was one of the most dreaded aspects of coming over, is that their husband would be a drunk or a gambler. But so if he didn't drink or gamble, that was already you were doing very good. The romance part of it, I'm not sure if they had so much a concept of a romantic marriage. By the 20s, because of movies, I think maybe they started to, and especially with women from the city, they were more sophisticated, and they knew that there was this thing of called romance, and they were affected by Western notions of courtship. So I think that's why in the film I tried to bring a little bit of that in, where the country boy has to court the city girl in order to connect with her.
My guest is Kayo Hata, director of the new film Picture Bride. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Kayo Hata is my guest, and she's the co-writer and director of the new film Picture Bride. Is there a story you were told by a former picture bride that really stuck with you that you included in your movie Picture Bride?
Well, the climax of the film, which I don't really want to give away, but of the baby dying in the Cane Fire, that was something that many women that I talked to recounted for me over and over, what a dangerous place it was for mothers and their children. They could not keep an eye on their children, and as they worked, that was their main concern. And when I heard that story, it really epitomized just like what daily life was like for these women.
The sugar fields were burned at the end of every season?
Right. The sugar is in the stalk of the cane field, and so they would have to remove the leaves. And originally it was done by hand. They would pull the leaves off the cane stalks, but they found a quick way of doing it, which was to burn the leaves. And huge fields would be set on fire, and it's an amazing experience watching a cane field fire. It's like the noise and the heat. So you can imagine it's not exactly the safest place for children to be playing near these fires, but there were a lot of accidents.
How did you set the fire for the film? I bet you hadn't worked with fire before.
No, that was a real challenge. The first time that we attempted to do it, the sugar company that we... the sugarcane plantation that we were filming on was still in operation, and they didn't want us to burn up their crops because that's money. And so we had to kind of do a fake fire with propane torches and do a fake wall of cane fields and cane field plants. And when we got the rushes back, instead of this menacing fire that we needed, it looked like a little barbecue. I mean, people were running around screaming, and there were two little tiny fires, and it looked ridiculous. I mean, it was, we looked at each other and said, this is not going to work. I mean, this is supposed to be the climactic scene. And instead, they look a little bit silly. And so we had to reshoot that scene. And thank God for Miramax when they came in. That gave us the luxury of going back and doing these reshoots.
How did you reshoot it?
We ended up actually burning a real cane field fire. We went to Hamakua, which is a big island, and that plantation had been shut down, and they gave us an overgrown weeded, a cane field that was completely covered with weeds, and they said, you know, it's all yours, you can burn it. Again, though, we had difficulty because it had been raining quite a bit, and you don't do cane burning when it's wet. They wait for the driest season. But we managed to get a pretty decent-looking fire out of it.
Your film ends with a long list of credits of people who helped to fund the film. Some of those credits are in memory of, mm-hmm. people donating money in memory of somebody.
Right.
And I'm wondering how you got that many people behind your film.
Well, this film is really unprecedented. A film like this had never been made about Hawaii. It's an independent. It's only like the second independent film coming out of Hawaii that has a long history of, you know, Hollywood films coming there and episodic television. So the community in Hawaii was really excited. It was like, this is a homegrown project. You know, local girl makes good. And the producers were women. And all the people working on it were from the islands. And this was a way... You know, most people in Hawaii have plantation roots, so it was like, okay, this is really exciting. We're going to bring our past to the big, to life on the big screen. And so it was really an outpouring of support from the community who just wanted to see it done. And I think partly is the timing too. A lot of the cane fields are closing, the the sugarcane fields are being converted to golf courses, and a lot of the companies, sugar companies, are closing down. It's really becoming a way of the past. And so I think it was that sentiment, that nostalgia for wanting to capture something that was disappearing for the younger generations. And so it was amazing. We call it kokua, is a Hawaiian word for generosity and help. And it was amazing kokua on the film.
In your film Picture Bride, the plantation workers go on strike.
Right.
And there's a scene in which they're all singing a song in protest against the boss.
Right.
Was that a real strike song that you found?
The Hole Hole Bushi. No, that's a song that I made up, but it was inspired by real-life songs that the women used to sing in the fields while they were working. And this was one of my first connections to the souls of these women when I heard actual recordings of retired plantation workers singing the song. A man in Hawaii, his name is Harry Urata, he went around to all the different Hawaiian islands and he recorded these songs called Hole Hole Bushi, and they were very poignant, very funny, raunchy songs that they composed on the spot, and they're kind of like the slave songs of the South, and it was call and response, and it was based on a Japanese melody. Very simple, but the first time I heard it, I realized, boy, there's a lot about Japanese women that I don't really know. Some of them were so raunchy, you know, come out, you know, there was one of the songs would come out and visit me, my husband's going to be out watering and we'll have a good time, you know, or the other one was, and then they're very, very passionate songs as well. One lyrics talked about how my love for you, she's singing to her husband, my love for you is stronger and burned hotter than the fires of Halemaumau volcano. And the first time I heard those songs, I thought, wow, this, like, you know, the whole stereotype of reticent, quiet Japanese immigrant women is totally went out the window. I realized that there was a lot more to them than I knew about. So I really wanted to infuse the women in the film with that same earthiness and life that I found in these songs.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Well,
thank you.
Kayo Hata directed the new movie Picture Bride, which she co-wrote with her sister Mari. It opens the Philadelphia Festival of World Cinema this Wednesday. This is Fresh Air.